Good morning. Before we begin, we have a few announcements. First off, the minister's office hours are listed in the chimes. Also, on Wednesday, we have lots of things going on. At 4 o'clock is the kids' club, 6 o'clock is computer classes, and at 6:30 is the elders' meeting. Thursday is choir rehearsal, and please note, if you have any bowline articles, they are due by this coming Thursday. Also, there will be a work day on Tuesday, November 18th, and if you get some free time, they could use some hands. Also, next Sunday, senior youth group and junior choir rehearsal. Are there any other announcements? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we have the hanging of the greens Saturday after Thanksgiving, and the more help is greatly appreciated. Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship him. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is number 387 in the Brown Hymnal, We Gather Together. Lord, for we lift our prayers of petition. Hear us, Lord, for we express our faith in song. Hear us, Lord, for without you we are nothing. Let us pray. Hear us, Lord, for we need cleansing and pardon. Hear us, Lord, for we rejoice in your providential care. Hear us, Lord, for you have called us to be your people. Hear us, Lord, as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. We can be good stewards of God's resources of time and talents. At this time, we have an opportunity to be good stewards through our gifts of financial resources. Our offertory hymn is in the Brown Hymnal, verses 1 and 2, number 516, Give of Your Best to the Master.
That what we have is not really our own, but on loan from you, for you are the creator and provider of all things. Receive these gifts as an acknowledgement of your ownership of all that we are and all that we have. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our scripture reading this morning is in Exodus, chapter 16, verses 9 through 21. That's the Old Testament and page 63 in your pew Bibles. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked towards the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as frost, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person attending to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some gathering less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over until morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred with worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as each needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. The anthem this morning by our sanctuary choir is "Give Thanks."
Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville on this Sunday before Thanksgiving Sunday, but every Sunday really should be a Thanksgiving Sunday. We do rejoice over the message of the choir that we always should give thanks with a grateful heart. Let us give thanks for the choir again and all their contributions to our services. Yes. We are very thankful to have people sharing their talents with us and to be sharing their gifts that God has given them in service of God and our worship. That is, of course, That is a theme of our stewardship emphasis that we are in now. That is also a general theme as Christians that we always should celebrate. As we give thanks this morning with a grateful heart for all that God has given us, I want to give thanks for my brother. It is my brother's birthday today. My brother David is turning 46, which I can share because he's not here. I don't ever feel old that in a couple weeks I'm going to be turning 39 for the first of many times. That doesn't make me feel old at all, but when I think that my brother's getting on to 50, that's what really blows my mind. But also, I try to tell my children again and again, there may have been a time that I was not thrilled that my brother was born, but now as an adult, I could not imagine that not being the case, and I know that at some point they will get there. But I want to give thanks for my brother and his birthday today. And I want to give thanks for all those who have shared their joys with us these past few weeks, and we will share some more. I know that a lot is happening in our lives and God is giving us and leading us. So we celebrate lots of good news, but we also want to lift up our concerns. I do also want to ask prayer for my friend Eric. We have prayed for him before, Eric Close. He had kidney cancer. He had a kidney removed. He is back in the hospital, or he was. He's home now, but we want to keep him in our prayers for all that he is battling. Eric Close. And I will give you the spelling for that, Jackie. When you give prayer requests, please write down the names and the spelling on a prayer card, and you can put them in the offering envelope or tray, or you can put them in the church right behind Armando. There's a little church back there. Or you can just hand them to me at the end of church. It helps us when we put together our prayer list if you write down the spelling of the names. I also want to lift up in prayer the family of Nolan Birch. Nolan was the boy that you probably heard about at WVU who passed away this past week, and I want to pray for the entire WVU community and Morgantown community and for college kids across the country that hopefully a lesson is learned, though it is at great cost. Let us pray for Nolan's family on his passing. What other prayers do we have to share? Joys and concerns, thanksgivings, and request for God. Roxanne? I'm sorry, was it Ryan or Rocky? Okay. I guess that Thanksgivings are in order for a number of things, but especially that Ryan, that wasn't too bad, and he will heal fully. So we do give thanks for that. Thank you for sharing that. And prayers for the Lawrence Lasco family. Linda? Pray for Rachel. Thank you for sharing that. And hopefully she will have good news to share with us, and I want to share good news with you. I saw Dave Reed this morning, and I bet some of you also saw him. And he called us this week and just to let us know that he's doing well. And he does look a little bit better, and it was good to see him outside. I'm sure that he's not out of the woods, but it has been a great story, the cancer that he has fought and that he has. I think that might have been almost 2 years ago, so he has done well. He has done very well, and he gives all thanks and praise to God, as I'm sure you can imagine. You can hear him saying that in your head. Let us give thanks for Dave Reed's health. Continue to celebrate with God. Are there any others? Seeing none. Oh, Janice? We celebrate with your family on the great niece born yesterday. Do you know her name?
Brielle.
Are there any others? Seeing none, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious, generous, loving God, we come today to give you thanks. For you have given each of us so much. You have given us minds and bodies and talents and abilities. And you have given us time. You've given us days, years to use them, to develop them, to discover them. You've given us some responsibility and some authority, but you have not burdened us with all of it. You have entrusted us, Lord, with resources that have great potential for both good and evil. We are honored by the confidence that you have shown in us to make these decisions and to make these efforts on your behalf. We pray that we may carry this responsibility with honor and according to your will. You, O Lord, you are the creator of all things. You are the sustainer of all things. You are the redeemer of all things. We pledge to you today that we will do everything in our power to be responsible stewards of these gifts, of our time, of our talents, of our treasure. We will not squander them. We will use them for ourselves, of course, but for others as well. We will use them for your church. We will use them in your name and for your name. And we will turn to you for guidance and wisdom on how best to use them. We will not squander these powers that you have given us. We will not waste the years that you have placed before us to be on this earth. We will view our talents with humility because we realize that all we have and all that we are come ultimately from you. We pledge, Lord, to spend our money wisely, choosing our purchases carefully. For nothing will please us more than to hear at the end of our journey, at the end of our race, when we meet you face to face, the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Master. Enter into the joy of your Lord." We also acknowledge, Lord, that simply the power of prayer, the ability of prayer, that prayers are a thing that you have given us, another talent, another treasure, and we will use them wisely as well. We will pray to heal and not to wound. We will pray to lift up and not to tear down. We will pray to bring together and not divide. We will pray for ourselves, but not only for ourselves, for others as well. We will pray for ourselves, but not just for what we want. We will pray that we may know what you want. And so we pray this morning for every aspect of our worship experience, for the words that we hear and the words that we speak and the words that are sung and the words that are prayed, for the actions that are done, for those who are here and those who are not. And we praise as we meditate in silence and we learn as we teach, and we are prayed for as we pray for others as well. Lord, we lift up into your care those who have been spoken of this morning. Eric Close, we pray for him as he has returned from the hospital. And we do not know the details of his sickness, but we know that he's been battling problems with his kidneys for years. And we know that you know. We pray for him recovery and sustenance and healing. Lift his burdens of worry from his mind, that you may bring him peace. We pray for Ryan. We do give thanks that the wounds he has experienced in the accident were not so severe. We do trust that he will make a full recovery. We pray for this. We pray for Rachel Ainsley. We know that she has been battling cancer for a long time, and we know what a difficult battle this is. What a fearsome foe she faces, but we know that she faces it not alone, but with you and with your Son, Jesus Christ, who conquered death. And so we know the healing is possible, but we know that it is not always given. We pray that your will be done, and that Rachel will know that you are with her whatever comes, that this may bring her inspiration and joy, it may bring her the ability to cherish each day that she is given, and to know that an eternity is promised. And Lord, we give you thanks. For you have granted us so many gifts and so much joy. We celebrate the birth of a great niece. We celebrate the birth of Brielle and pray that she have many days to enjoy your presence and your word. We give you thanks for birthdays. Celebrate the birthday of David Stillwell. And for all those, it seems that this is a month of many birthdays. We celebrate the time that is given and the joy of brothers and sisters. we celebrate the well-being of David Reed. We pray that he will continue to be strengthened and be made well, that we may see him and speak with him on many Sundays to come. And Lord, we also mourn those who have passed on. We lift up prayers for the Lasco family. We lift up prayers for the Birch family, for all those who have been touched by their passing. May they celebrate their life. May they learn the lessons of their death. May they know that they are beyond pain and with you, and that we may be with you as well. We pray these things, Lord, as a grateful community, as a grateful church. Small as we are, we know we can do great things together and with you. And we know that you are with us. And we know that you are with those who are not here this morning. We pray for them, whatever it is that they are going through. We know that you are with them. We pray that they will continue to turn to you. And we long for the day when we are all united as brothers and sisters of Christ in the great church, universal, eternal. But we give you thanks that that day is not today, that you have work for us to do in this world. Send us forth this morning with your blessing. Send us forth with your charge. Send us forth with your spirit, that we may continue to build the kingdom and bring more people to you, to know you, to love you, and to thank you. As we all together thank you and say, Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, how are you today? Now we got some more people coming. I want to know. I know what I'll be thankful for. I'll be thankful for Legos. I'll be thankful for my family. What are you guys thankful for? Is it Legos? Okay, we're going to keep working on this, all right? We're going to come back to that next week. Let's think some more about what we're thankful for. But today I'm going to talk to you about pools. Are you thankful for pools? You guys have pools? If you do, you don't know. We'll talk about that in a second. But you know what tools are, right? Hammers, screwdrivers. I'll tell you about those. Your sweater's going to be fine. We use tools for what? Things? Stuff, fix stuff.
Yes, tools are very helpful and useful.
I'm going to tell you a story.
Who uses tools? Now, maybe your parents use tools, maybe you use tools, but who uses tools as their job?
You know?
A lot of people do, but especially carpenter, construction men, right? I'm going to tell you a story about a person who owned a business.
It was a construction business. Later, okay? I don't have the ponytail ring.
So listen, the man, he had to go out of town, and he had three people who worked for him, and he wanted to put them in charge. He said, I gotta go out of town, and I'll be gone for about a month. While I'm gone, I'm gonna leave you in charge of the construction business. I have created for you three special toolboxes. I'm gonna leave
for you.
Do the work while I'm gone. When I come back,
I'll check on you, okay?
So he goes away for a month, he comes back, he calls the guys together.
this toolbox.
And I found some people who were in need, and I helped build some homes for them. And now they have those homes, and they're very happy. And the owner of this toolbox, and he saw that the tools were a little bit beat up,
a little bit worn down. Says, well, sir, there are a lot of elderly people in our community, and they already have homes, but they need some repairs done, and they can't
necessarily do it themselves. So I took your toolbox, and I used it to help those people who couldn't help themselves to fix up their homes.
And so he showed them the toolbox, and again, in fact, there was a screwdriver that was a little bit bent, and there was a saw. What do you think the owner said to this man? Is that what you said, too? Oh, you guys know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, he wasn't upset that the tools were a little beat up and unbroken. He's happy with what he did with the tools. He said, good job.
I'm going to put you in charge of this section of the business.
Excellent.
And so then he turns to the third man, and the third man, and the third man said, well, sir, I know that, you know,
you are a very demanding boss, and I know that I didn't want to upset you,
and I didn't want to damage these nice tools that you gave me, so I took
them.
Shown every
part was everywhere. What do you think
the owner said?
You
heard the story before. But that's what he said, because he said, you know what? I gave you these tools, and I
didn't do anything with them.
You just
set them over there in a locker in a safe.
You didn't do anything with them. And he said, you know what? I'm gonna demote you, and I'm gonna make you work for these guys,
because they did. Because Jesus told a story that's very similar. He used the word talents. Same thing, only in his story,
he gave people money, and they used money
to grow. And he said
to the people who did well, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And
the joy of master.
Now, why? Why is that the case? Because
Jesus
gave them some talents, and he wanted them to use them. God has given you
tools, too. I'm not talking about hammers, though. I'm not talking about screwdrivers. What am I talking about?
What's that?
The three wise men? Well,
those are some, they had some tools. I'm talking about what God gave you, okay? God gave you tools and talents, the ability to do things, okay? Can some of you sing? Maybe. What are you good at? Tell me. Can you sing? Can you write? That's a talent. Maybe you don't think of that. That's creativity. Can you read well? What's that?
Drawing.
Drawing's a talent. Right. Playing sports, playing games. Are you good at those things? Snapping? Hey, you
figure out a way to snap for Jesus. Sure. That's a talent.
There's lots of things that you can do, and you may not have found them all yet. You probably have.
But
over the course of your life, you're going to find out what you're good for, what you're good at, and then you need to find out what you're good for. And that means using those talents. Who do you use them for? Well, to some degree yourself, but who else? The one who gave them to you. God, okay?
God wants us to build a kingdom, but not with
hammer and nails, or at least not
only hammer and
nails, but with
kindness
and love and
anything that helps people learn
about God. So, if you draw a good picture and that causes someone to
be inspired to think about God, that's helpful. If you use your Legos or your building ability,
creativity. All right. If
you can snap in such a way that it will amaze people, think about, wow, that's a great God-given talent.
That is using
your tools to build a kingdom.
Using your tools to help
people.
Using your tools to share
the gospel
and the good news. Okay.
And at the end of your life, your tools might be a little worn out. They might not be in great shape.
He's a lot older than me.
Okay.
He has a it is a tool, and it's a beautiful thing, and it is a mess. You could go buy a guitar
at a guitar store,
and it would look
right.
All right, mess. because it has been used. Okay? Now, that's just an example.
But the point is that
your talents, you want to use them.
You don't want to leave them in a box.
You don't want to leave them in a safe, yeah. All right, well, hold on. Let's distinguish between a guitar being a mess because it has been used and a guitar that's a mess because it has been taken care of. Let's distinguish between that.
But you get the point. Use your tools, whatever they are.
Use the gifts that God has given you.
Remember that.
They're all different and they're all important, okay? Thank you. Class now. Second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. It's found on page 74, the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Page 74. Just heard a children's sermon based on the parable of the talents, and now we turn to a different parable that Jesus tells his disciples and followers. He told them a parable that said, "The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops.' And then he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever seen the television show Hoarders? It's one of those, let's call it reality shows. Where they go to someone's house who has a lot of things, but I mean a lot of things, and they explore their collection, and sometimes it might be that they like Pez dispensers, and so they have like 1,000 Pez dispensers, and it's kind of interesting, this collection, but at the same time, the collection just completely consumes their house, right? So sometimes it's interesting, but other times it's ugly. Usually the houses are in disarray to the point where whatever is being hoarded threatens to take over the house. Hoarding is a response, usually, to a feared scarcity. Now, sometimes it is just a collecting of a thing that you like. But mostly it is a response to fearing that what is in abundance now will not be in abundance later, and in fact will be scarce later, and so you must keep it, no matter how much of it is, in case you need it later. And sometimes you can hoard, a person may hoard useful things, food, water, things that you might need, but a lot of times it is things that you would never think. And sometimes the fear is based in reality, but most oftentimes it is not. Oftentimes people who have experienced poverty once in their life, or have known want in their life, may never feel comfortable with what they have. My friend's grandmother is an example. She, as a child, lived through the Depression, and it scarred her on some level. She's not rich by any means, but she's had a pretty comfortable life and a good retirement, but she now has enough canned food in her house to last for a decade or more. She doesn't need it, but if she sees a sale, she goes and gets it because you never know. You never know. So her fear, I think, is understandable. I don't think that it's entirely reasonable because that threat isn't there, but I can understand where it's coming from. But oftentimes, hoarding is unreasonable and occurs where the perceived importance of the hoarded items far exceeds their true value. This is certainly the case of one episode I saw, which actually I think was the last episode I saw because after that I couldn't watch it anymore. The person hoarded garbage. They just didn't want to throw anything away. They were just so afraid that they might need it later. A good example would be a wrapper. Maybe they were going to need to wrap something up one day, or a tissue. Maybe they were going to need to use that tissue again next week. So they just couldn't throw anything away, and of course their house became just unlivable. Or at least you would think, and yet still they lived in it. Another person tried to solve their hoarding problem by buying a second house. And once you do this, you have reached a whole new level. You've reached a whole new level of problematic. It happens not so often, but you may know someone like that. You may have seen it on TV. You may have seen it in real life. We can become attached to our material possessions, not just because of what value they have for us, but because of our fear that in the future we will not have them and we will need them. What if one day do you have clothes that you have not worn since they were in style, right? But one day you're going to need it. One day you're going to want it. One day you're going to use it. And if you give it away now, there might be somebody who could use it, but you keep it. And you need to understand that a minister preaches to himself just as much as he preaches to the congregation. The reason I thought of that example so quickly and so easily is because it is true of me as well. So we may not be as bad off as others, but there is an aspect of hoarding that we all have, that we all have to consider. We all have to ask ourselves, do we need all the things that we have? It makes me wonder if Jesus Christ had cable TV, if he would have used some of these examples as parables. Because it reminds me of the story that we have heard today, the parable that he told his followers of the rich man. Sometimes it is referred to as the rich hoarder. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Now these are useful things. Crops, food. You don't really get much more useful than this. And he said to himself, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Now sometimes with the parables, they catch us off guard because at first it seems like it's one thing and then it's another. At first, this does not seem like a bad idea for this man because, one, food is important and useful. And, you know, you can't eat it all at once, so why not store it for later? Maybe you can. Maybe you put things in your freezer. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with preparing a little bit for the future. And we know that people who don't prepare for the future, they end up in a jam, and a lot of times they get bailed out by people who did prepare for the future. So good for him. Good for people who do that. But here's the problem. One is that, you know, is this food going to last? Two, were there people in need right now that he could have helped instead of himself for the future? And three, we don't know how long the future is. We do not know how many days we have. So this man hoarded food, certainly better than garbage, but its perceived importance still exceeded its true value because God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. So this food that he had laid up, that he was going to enjoy in the future, he will die, and he will not enjoy them. He will not enjoy them. But imagine the joy he would have had in helping others, you know, sharing with the food then in his life. You may call this a stewardship or a parable of many things, but one thing it is in general is a parable of stewardship. And stewardship is simply, we think of it as money, but it's not just money. Stewardship is simply taking care of the things that God has given us. So our talents, and you know the parable of the talents, and it just always seems like such a great coincidence to me that money was referred to as talents in Jesus' time. He wasn't necessarily talking about money. He was talking about our gifts, whatever they may be. And so it may be time and it may be treasure, but it also is talent. It is also ability. And of course, it isn't just material possessions, isn't just money. It is also items and using them to help others. Now, as I say, a minister preaches to himself as much as the congregation. You must know, you should know, that as a minister, I'm just as uncomfortable talking about money as we people are thinking about it. This is not a call in our stewardship emphasis to guilt people in emptying their savings for God. This is not what this parable is about. Because what if you did that, and then you do live a long time? That's a problem, too. We should save. We should have savings for future purchases or rainy days. We should have retirement accounts. We should think of the future. We simply shouldn't, though, think that that is guaranteed and that that is going to be used only for ourselves. We just shouldn't save so much for the future that we do not also save for the present. And we don't often think about saving for the present, but we should, because we need to. It is wise and prudent for people to think of the future, but only if we have taken care of the present first. And that's not just paying our bills and taking care of our debts and obligations. It's also helping others along the way. For even better it is when we take care of the present, when taking care of the present helps us to build for the future. And I say that because that's what a stewardship emphasis is in the church. No church or minister should ever ask anyone to empty their savings to give to the church. That is simply too much. But we should remind people that our present is blessed, that we do have a lot, even though there are times when it does not seem like we have a lot. And even as we also plan for the future of ourselves, we want to plan for the future of the church. We want to ensure that our future will be blessed as well. And this happens for two reasons. One is that the church blesses us. I would hope that it has, I would hope that it does, or we wouldn't be here today. And so we want to give a little bit to the church, that the church will continue to be a blessing for the future. One, for as long as we live, it will continue to be able to bless us. And then two, if God were to call us home tomorrow, we would know that some of our gifts that we have been given were used to ensure that the church would go on to bless others. And it's important also because we must know that that's how the church is here. You know, the church did not exist. I mean, the church did not start with you or me. The church existed long before any of us. And that's the church universal. That's this church as well. This church has been around for over 180 years. And the reason it was able to bless you either from when you were born, as is the case for some of you, or whenever you came here, at whatever stage in life you came, it's because of people before who kept some things for the future for themselves, but not everything. They gave a little bit back to ensure that the church would exist. A writer named John Ortberg, he wrote a story that I've shared with you before. I share again because I think it's a great little story. He wrote of growing up with his grandmother, and she was a ruthless competitor at games. Any board game, any card game, I mean, she was in it to win it. Sometimes when I play checkers with my son, I find it really hard to let him win. I let him win occasionally, but it really kind of gnaws at me. I mean, sometimes I just want to jump them all and be like, look, there you go, you need to learn. But I also know that if I don't, he's going to really throw a fit. But apparently, his grandmother was like this. And she played against her grandchildren, and she won nearly every time. And what she was really good at was Monopoly. That was her specialty. That was her thing. She beat everybody at Monopoly. And she was a little bit ruthless. So that one day, when her grandson, John, managed to win, he did not handle it well. Okay? He did not handle it well. He rubbed it in a little bit, kind of like the first time I beat my brother at chess, which, looking back on it now, he probably let me win. But I'm not going to say that to him. He did a little dance. He did a little song that he made up immediately. And as most kids do, like I said, he made the most of his rare victory. He raked all the play money and all the tokens and all the markers toward him, and he gloated in his triumph because he had finally won. And the grandmother, she smiled. She handled it well. And she said, just remember, John, it all goes back in the box. And it does. All the money, all the hotels and the motels, the game tokens, at the end of the game, it all goes back in the box. It's just a game. And those things that seem so important in the game, they're not very important when the game is over. In fact, they are useless. Everything goes back in the box, and everything we have must go back in the box, in a manner of speaking. Everything you have will be left to someone. So it isn't wise to give in your lifetime to the someone who gave you everything you have, and to have some control over where you give, where it goes, and what it does. This is our second week of the Stewardship Emphasis. We will conclude next week. And this week, you will receive a pledge card in the mail. And this is a card asking you to pledge how much you will be able to donate to the church in the following year, 2015. And it's only for the current fund, which is our operating fund, the fund that pays the bills and salaries and helps also buy communion and our bulletins and the things that we use. It's not for the roof. It's not for missions. It's simply for the operating fund. And I ask you to fill it out, and you can mail it back or drop it off to the church, or you can bring it back next Sunday And next Sunday we will also have pledge cards in the bulletin, so if you want to make your decision then. And next Sunday we will offer those pledges to God in thanksgiving for all that God has done for us and given to us. We will give thanks with a grateful heart to the one who has blessed us so richly. And I just want to conclude by saying a few things. These pledges are not binding. If your financial circumstances change, you may change your pledge or you may change your gift. The reason we do it is simply to have some idea of how much we will have in the coming year for the budget committee that meets after Thanksgiving to plan next year's budget. What is important is that we make a pledge in order to eliminate the guesswork that the committee will have to do. And as we place those pledges next Sunday in an offering tray, to offer them up to God as a sign of our having been blessed by Him and as a sign of our pledge to be a blessing to others, we know that we can do so much and that our money is simply one thing that we pledge to God. We would also pledge in our hearts the use of our talents and the use of our time, whether it is in worship or in helping the church in any way. These are the things that are needed to keep it going. For we as a church have done so much. For over 180 years, we have served this community, and we have done so, I think, honorably. A small church, we have done things far that outstrip our numbers. And we have overcome a great deal, whether it is difficulties, personal or physical problems, health-wise, or whether it is financial problems. It has been difficult at times, and yet we have pulled through by the grace of God, and I think not just survived, but in many ways thrived. We are much stronger this year than last, and stronger than 2 or 3 years before, but there is still so much to do. And as long as the church exists, there is always much to do. Many things for our treasure and talents to do to build upon the foundation that God has laid upon us, laid through us, laid for us. Eventually, it all goes back into the box, even you. We do. Maybe we don't like to think about that, but we must acknowledge. But when we do, the question, we know that our soul is the only thing that does not go back into the box. And we know that it will be before God. The question is not how much money did we give, or how much money did we have left. The question is, how do we use our money, this gift that God has given us? What do we use it for on behalf of God? How do we use our blessings to bless others and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is what we will be asked of before we enter into the joy of the Master. So let us give to God while we can, because although we cannot take it with us, we can send it on ahead through the grace and the vehicle of the church. And for this, perhaps more than anything else, let us, with a grateful heart, give thanks. Amen. Now the community comes together at the Lord's table to celebrate this amazing gift. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 564 in the Brown Hymn. Well, let us break bread together. The German theologian Meister Eckhart has a quote that is one of my favorite quotes on prayer. He says that if, in the end of your life, the only prayer you are able to offer is simply, thank you, it will be enough. And I think that it really just cuts to the heart of the matter of prayer and our relationship to God. If all we can do is just say thank you, that is, I think, all God wants to hear sometimes. And it also points to the importance of thankfulness. You teach your children to say please and thank you, and we call those the niceties, but I want to say that we should call those the necessities. Because I don't really know how you appreciate life if you're not thankful. And when I get to the end of the day, and I say my prayers at the end of the day, I always start by giving thanks to God for a number of things. And this is helpful because I usually, or often, have spent the day complaining to God for a list of things. And it helps to put things in perspective. One is that when you give thanks to God for all the things that you have, the things that you complained about before may not seem so important. And most of them are not so important. The ones that are important, maybe when you give thanks to God for all that's happening and the good, they may change your perspective a little bit on them, or at the very least, help you to remember that it isn't all bad. Sometimes we just need, it's okay to be upset about things. There are a lot of things to be upset about, but let's also be happy and grateful for some things as well. And I think that's really important at this table. When we come to this table, there are many things we want to petition God for or ask for, but let's start by giving thanks. And if nothing else, we can give thanks for Jesus Christ, for his life, his example, his words, and of course his sacrifice. Because sometimes we just give thanks for the fact that our lives are not as bad as someone else's. And one person we can do that with is Jesus Christ. However hard it is that we have it, let us give thanks that we did not have to go through what he had to go through, the betrayal, the abandonment, the mockery, the pain and the suffering of the crucifixion. We at least do not have those problems in our lives. It is often easier to complain and to give thanks. There are moments in our lives where it is easier to give thanks than others. But it is particularly at the moment when it is hard for us to give thanks, that is when it is most important to give thanks. That is when it is most important to be thankful so that we do not lose perspective on how much God has given us and how much God has done for us and how much God will do for us. Because of what has happened in Jesus Christ, we have the knowledge that he is with us in all things. We have the comforting of his spirit and words, and we have the promise that though God does not promise us an easy life, God does promise us a joyful, joyful ending of nothing else. Let us give thanks for that which is to come, and let that help us for anything we go through in the here and now. Let us share this meal this morning. Let us share our thanksgivings with a grateful heart for our Lord who has loved us and does love us and will continue to love us for all the future. And now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Father in heaven, as we come to this table, our vision has become clouded, O Lord. Our sense of values have become twisted. Our concepts of right and wrong is far from reliable. Consciously and unconsciously, we have accepted a standard that has become compromised. Forgive us for not only failing to live up to our standards, but also for accepting standards that are less than they should be. Restore to us, we pray, a new sense of your holiness. Amen.
For I hand unto you, it was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it, and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do, in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after having blessed it, he poured it out. And said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do, in remembrance of me." As often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. community responds to the Word of God. If any gather here wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, we dedicate your life to God. Transfer into the fellowship of this congregation. We invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is 598, All the Way My Savior Leaves Me, verses 1 and 3. Now let us bow our heads with the benediction. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Amen.